Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. We got 24 and a half more minutes today of this show. We thank you for listening. Tim Wildman, Wesley Wildman, and Ray Pritchard, and we're joined now by Steve Paisley Jordahl. Good morning, Brother Steve.
Morning, everybody.
How you doing, Steve?
I am well.
What are you looking forward to this summer, Steve? What's on tap for you?
Summer. Well, I'm next week. I am headed to. Me and my wife are headed to Indianapolis for the Southern Baptist convention.
Are you a messenger?
My wife is a messenger. I'm a reporter. I'll be working.
For those who don't know about the Southern Baptist Convention, they have an annual national gathering. And the people who go there to make, I guess, decisions for the denomination are called messengers, right?
Yes.
Were you ever one, Ray?
I never was. Now, next week's going to be a big deal up there. I mean, the law amendment is on the table.
Is on the table.
What is that, Ray?
Steve, can you explain that? You're a reporter.
I can.
What do y'all tell? Both you guys are Southern Baptists, right?
It's kind of inside baseball stuff, but it's a pretty big deal for the denomination.
Yeah, so the last year, the big issue at the convention in New Orleans was whether or not you could be a Southern Baptist church and have a woman pastor, whether she could be a teacher.
You sure you
want to
do this?
Even,
Yeah, we've already opened that can of worms, so go
or
ahead.
Or even have the title pastor. So the law amendment is an amendment to the Constitution, to the, I guess it's the Baptist message, faith and message. Anyway, it says you cannot, it hearkens and quotes the biblical mandate that you cannot, a pastor must be a man and have other scriptural qualifications. And basically what the law amendment is meant to do is it's meant to put this issue to bed so that we don't have to go every year and say, well, here's a church. What about this? Here's a church. What about this? So that's the issue. That's the law amendment. That's one of the things that's going to be talked about there.
Right. The Southern Baptist Convention, though, it's a association, but all the churches are independent and autonomous.
Yeah,
right?
there you are at the heart of the issue. How does the convention, which is a voluntary association, right? It's not like the Methodist Church, the United Methodist Church or the Episcopal Church or the Presbyterian Church, and
certainly
the denomination
like the
holds the title. Not like the Catholic Church.
Right.
It's a very voluntary association. And so how do you, I don't know how many churches Southern Baptists have, Steve. What is it, 30-some thousand?
Somewhere.
Or more, maybe. Thousands and thousands. How do you ride herd on all those churches who are in voluntary association and enforce your understanding of biblical standards? So it's going to, I expect, Steve, it'll be a lively discussion.
But why? I'm not sure why. Of course, I don't understand the ins and outs of everything.
More than 50,000 churches. Sorry.
Southern Baptist.
Wow. Wow. Okay.
I don't know how would you pass a law, for lack of a better word.
Right. Let's call it an amendment to the bylaws, something like that.
Because I'm sure you have a creed. I mean, you have these things we believe.
The Baptist faith.
But that's pretty fundamental things. But
sure.
You probably doesn't get into depth on whether or not to allow a woman to be a pastor.
Well, it will now.
But that's what they're suggesting.
Yeah, so it is a voluntary association, but it's voluntary on both sides. So if a church does anything to flaunt, that goes against what the SBC considers fundamental core biblical truths, they can be basically disfellowshipped. The Southern Baptist Convention can break and say, we're not going to, you're not in the Southern Baptist Convention anymore. This is the case that happened with Saddleback Church, Rick Warren's church in Southern California last year. They have ordained three or four women on staff, and Rick Warren basically...
And he was an SBC.
It was the largest church in the SBC, I think, at one point. And he said, basically came to New Orleans and said, I'm Rick Warren. I can do whatever I want. And the SBC said, no, you can't. Saddleback Church is no longer in the SBC. And you know where this voluntary association thing becomes very, very sticky? Because you probably also know that the Southern Baptist Convention has been going through an issue with abuse. The Houston Chronicle wanted to make a name for itself, and so it got a list of abuse allegations and published it, and it's made the Southern Baptist Convention jump through a whole lot of hoops. I say that way because the abuse issue in the Southern Baptist Convention is far less, I mean, it's nowhere comparable to the Catholic Church at all, although that's what the Houston Chronicle wanted to make it look like, and it's even less than just what's the abuse that you get in public schools. But here's where this voluntary association becomes problematic. It's because you want to ask your Southern Baptist churches to have certain procedures in line when you hire a youth worker or somebody to work with the kids. You want to make sure that they're safe, and everybody, the churches and the SBC, will. But legally, the SBC can't make them do that. So when somebody comes and is accused of abuse, they want to bring a lawsuit against the SBC, then the SBC has to say, we don't really have the authority to make them do something. So it gets very interesting, to say the least, right, Ray?
Well, we've gone into the weeds here a little bit. That's a good explanation. But it is a problem. Tim, the bigger question here is, if you're going to have a denomination, how broad do you want your fellowship to be, and how narrow do you want to draw the lines, and where do you want to draw the lines? And that's what the Southern Baptists are. Well, for instance, you know, a generation ago, they decided back in the 80s with the late 70s, the conservative resurgence led by Dr. Criswell
Adrian Rogers.
They said, if you have decided you don't believe in biblical inerrancy, if you believe there are going to be errors somewhere found in the Bible, you really are, you're something, but you're not really a Southern Baptist. And they cleaned out, cleaned house to do that. So now this is a, now they're.
So how's this vote going to go down?
The law amendment will pass.
Okay, so the law amendment would state for the record that the official stance of the SBC is that the senior pastor positions...
Any pastor, anybody ordained or that fills the role of pastor, and that's a role that is understood by Southern Baptists to mean has authority in the church.
Will be...
Yeah, because, you know, some people call their youth minister a youth pastor.
Right.
There's some pushback.
Or worship pastor.
Worship pastor. And they don't necessarily mean, doesn't necessarily mean that they have authority, teaching authority in the church or whatever. That also is going to be clarified. You will see a whole lot fewer worship pastors or children's pastors.
You get worship leaders.
Leaders or ministers or that kind of thing. So.
All right.
We hope that made you.
Does that make everything clear? We could go for another hour and a half on that if you want.
We wouldn't be any clearer at the end of the hour, but
would we have anybody listening.
That's right. All three are true.
That's right.
All right. Hey, let's talk about this. I wanted to get to this because I think it's remarkable. In California, there is a bill. It's called SB 1414. That would make soliciting a child for sex who is less than 16 years old basically a felony, punishable by up to 16 years. I'm sorry, but up to 3 years in jail. As it stands now, soliciting a minor is nothing but a misdemeanor. Now, there are members, this is California. There are members of the Democrat Party.
Misdemeanor is like a parking ticket.
Wait a minute. Basically. Yeah, I'm confused.
You can be put up to a year in prison and a $10,000 fine.
For molesting a child?
Soliciting a child, yes.
And that's in California?
That's in California.
That's all?
Currently, that's it. That's why they want to make this a felony.
I would like to repeat this. In California.
Yeah, in California, I know. Yeah.
But there's a lot of people apparently within the legislature of California, Democrats, who see this as a way to put more black and brown people in prison. Mm-hmm. And so they are opposing this bill to make solicitation a felony. Well, a state senator, her name is Susan Talamantes Eggman from Stockton. She is being term limited out of the legislature, so she won't be there next year. But she had something to say to her colleagues about this, and I want you to hear it. This is Cut 10.
Thank you, Mr. President and members. I'd like to say, as a progressive, proud member of this body for the last 12 years, I'm done. I'm done with us protecting people who would buy and abuse our children. I'm done. I don't want to send more black and brown men to prison. I don't want more people in prison, but I don't want people buying girls. I don't want people buying little girls anymore. And I'm tired of saying it's okay and that we have to protect the men who do it. As a mental health professional and as a social worker, I can tell you I've spent my entire career working with people who have been wounded. I'm not going to say beyond repair, but they have been wounded to their core by the abuse that's been heaped on them, oftentimes by those that they love and look to protect them. And if their parents won't do it, then we should. Again, I am not arguing that we open the gates to flood our prisons with people, but I am arguing that we have a moral responsibility to say enough, enough. We have given away enough on this area, and we've got to move back into the center, or we all look like fools and laughingstocks. And what do we stand for? I ask all of you to watch the documentary that Senator Grove was in, Senator from Kern County was just in, that talked about this very place in Sacramento where girls are being bought and sold. Men are being given a slap in the hand or a couple days, and then they're back out again, and they do the same thing. They get caught over and over and over again, and somehow that's okay. It's not okay. It is not okay anymore, and no more on my watch. And like I said, I'm leaving, but the rest of you who are going to be here for a while, let's get our stuff together and really start focusing on some of the important things. We talk about learning, and we talk about being safe. This is like at the core of it. And a lot of these kids can be throwaway kids. They're poor kids. They're kids of color. But they shouldn't have to live a life determined by what happens to them by others at a very young age and by having the Democratic Party of California say it's okay. It's not okay. And I'm not doing it anymore, and I hope none of you do too. We have to be able to draw a line, and for me, I'm drawing a line. I urge your aye vote.
Okay, that was very powerful. That was about 2 minutes or 3 minutes there. The lady you just heard is a retiring state senator.
Yes.
In the California legislature. She is a left winger. She calls herself a proud progressive is what she called her. But she's just chastising her fellow, quote, progressives for defending, for not, how would you categorize what they're doing there? They're not giving, they're letting sexual, she called them buying girls.
Yes.
Sexual predators.
Sexual predators, letting them off with light sentences. Is that what she was saying?
Yes.
And she's done. That's what she was saying. I'm done.
She's done.
She said that we all heard her there. You got to bring this back to the center and get the woke ideology out of this and focus on just helping.
Protecting the girls. And also punishing the criminals.
Many of the girls are brown or, you know, or of color, which is the other teams, the opposing teams' argument. We don't want to put more black people in prison, so we can't make this a felony. Well, what about the black women who are being sex trafficked?
That's the reason crime in general is going up. That's violent right. Crime in general is going up is because the idea being the quote criminal justice reform. I don't want to get us too far off message here, but the idea is we need to know what the skin color is of the individual who committed the crimes before we do anything about it or not, because this is how these people view the world.
You know, I'm amazed, Tim, because so much of what that woman said could have been said by somebody on the right.
That's and what it you would expect. Have been
and it would have been completely discounted, right?
Yep.
So here you have a self-proclaimed progressive who is retiring and saying, enough is enough. And she said, there's this place, I don't know what she was talking about,
right,
where they can, where men can come and they can,
right,
they can buy.
Right. That's what she said. She knew about it. Maybe it's notorious there in Sacramento or somewhere.
Yeah, it would have to be, because she was saying that there's a history of men being arrested.
And you know,
put back and then arrested back at the same spot again.
Yeah, they just repeat because they're not punished. And isn't that the bottom line of the point she's making, Steve, is that when you don't punish crime sufficiently, you're going to get more of it? Is that what she's saying?
I don't know that she's specifically saying that. I think she'd believe that. What she's saying is that there are certain lines that even progressive Democrats who want to do the defund the police thing and everything, certain lines that you shouldn't cross.
Yeah. All right, next story.
Children in danger. Next story. All right, let's talk about what's going on over in Israel, because the President Biden has – I tried to get some sound on this. I just ran out of time. But President Biden says that Israel is offering up a ceasefire option that would potentially end the war in Gaza. President Biden, in his little announcement of this, was strangely kind of dual. And I have done this and Israel is doing this. But he's basically saying that Israel is offering a three-part plan. The first part would be a temporary ceasefire, a six-week ceasefire, immediately, and return of some hostages. And then a negotiation for a permanent ceasefire, allowing everybody to move back into Gaza and wherever they were. And then the third part being delivering aid and rebuilding Gaza. And Biden says Israel's the one that's offering this. They're proposing this. And by the way, we're urging Israel to please accept this deal that you have proposed. It's weird, because you think if they proposed it, they wouldn't have to be told to accept it. Benjamin Netanyahu says, not so fast. It's not accurate. What they're saying is not accurate. So, and there's a lot of little clues in here that Joe Biden's real issue here and real what he's trying to accomplish by pushing this peace plan is to get rid of Benjamin Netanyahu. It is all is not as it seems in Gaza and the war there.
Yeah.
Well, what do you think?
I think Joe Biden is conflicted. I think he really doesn't care about U.S. hostages. He's not done anything to put pressure on Hamas at all. Everything he said has been in order to facilitate Hamas. There's this mythical two-state solution that nobody really thinks can work. And I think that Joe Biden, whether through sheer animosity towards Benjamin Netanyahu and Israel, or just from incompetence, is doing everything he can to make this
prolong
and to get Israel to leave Hamas in place, which is not going to happen as far as Israel is concerned.
Yeah. All right, next story.
All right. As you know, we have entered June, and June is, in some people like to say that June is a month.
It's a wedding month.
It's a wedding. Celebrate weddings. Yeah. And some people like to celebrate weddings, a different type of weddings. It has been declared, as you know, Pride Month, which means.
Really?
Yes, which means.
What are you talking about?
A lot of Americans are proud of their sin.
You haven't gotten out much. Go in any retail store. Try to check out.
Pride Month, huh?
Yeah.
How long has this been going on?
Oh, boy.
Too long.
Too long. In fact, if you hang on long enough, I think they're going to overplay. They're not. I think they are. They are currently overplaying their hand.
Yeah.
Well, the NFL seems to think so, because NFL teams are split on whether to even recognize this celebration.
Which they were probably, I don't know for sure, but I would imagine 5 years ago they were all united on it.
I don't know that either, but I would imagine the same.
The point is, as we get further along in this, people are getting tired of it. We're getting over it, which is why Target is pulling out in some areas.
Yeah.
A lot of their stores. So what was the story here?
Well, so the NFL is split as 11 NFL teams out of 32 have decided they're not going to participate in this, which means they didn't change their team logo to have these pride colors, and they're not doing any pride events and that kind of stuff. The 11 teams.
Well, it's not football season, though.
No, but everybody wants to virtue signal on their websites and their with their logos and.
But you're saying
statements.
Some of the or make a public statement. That's what they do. They'll make a public statement.
Yeah, I got you.
Yes, well, 11 teams have decided they're just not going to do it this year. They've not said we hate gay people or anything like that.
Well, that's good.
Exactly.
Have not participated in any kind of
acknowledgement. I wouldn't advise that as a PR move.
No.
I think not.
It is a net loss to participate. If you're a company or if you are in this case, if you're an NFL team, it's a net loss, in my opinion. And I think the finances will show it's a net loss. You don't gain anything. You may not you don't gain anything for going all in with it because you're going to have so many people like you're seeing in the Target store saying, well, I'm not going to – that doesn't help
there's
me.
No need. Listen, we've had Pride now for 20 years, okay? We get
yes.
it.
Yeah.
I said the other day, you're gay and lesbian. Okay, well, I'm going to clap for you.
Okay,
you're going to tell us every year.
Yeah.
Okay, we got it, okay? Yeah,
we got it,
and,
right.
And you just live your life, and they've got everything they've ever wanted.
Sure.
They can marry now. They're in the military openly. Yeah.
They got churches.
Huh?
Church. There's plenty of gay
church
churches.
Church denominations are embracing LGBTQ.
They can put... drag shows in front of kids. They can give kids pornography.
There's no persecution there to back the people that are persecuted.
The only thing they don't have is they're not rid of us yet.
Yeah.
We are still hanging around.
Yeah. That's it. You know, I will say this too. There are a lot of LGBTQ people, especially lesbian and gay. They're not necessarily antagonistic or political, or they don't hate Christians. They do want to live their lives and be left alone. But there's a lot of them also that are into this push the agenda on everybody, and it's just never ending, and you've got to make an issue of your sexuality every day. Or either you feel like, you're hated or something, or you're less of a person, and you need to make the Christians bow the knee to the LGBTQ movement. That's the objective here. But the interesting thing is here, I think a lot of businesses and in this case professional sports teams are just saying this, we're just not participating in promoting what we – now, the LGBTQ crowd, they would say – we would say it's promoting an agenda. They would say, no, it's just recognizing a marginalized group of people who...
Sure. They aren't marginalized.
I know. They're not marginalized, okay? Yeah. They're not marginalized. The LGBT, if you look at the average income, they make more than the straight person as far as salaries go, on average. Mm. Of course, you don't have kids to support.
Right.
So you don't most of the time. So
or fans.
Anyway, but the point, what were the name of the teams that did not?
Yes, the name of the teams, the Pittsburgh Steelers, the Cleveland Browns, Cincinnati Bengals, Tennessee Titans, former Dallas Texans.
Denver, that the Kansas City Chiefs?
Yes. Denver Ponies, Dallas Cowboys, Detroit Lions, Green Bay Packers, New Orleans Saints, and the Atlanta Falcons.
I see what you did there.
Yeah. Did you?
Yeah. Yeah. We all saw that.
AFC West.
Las Vegas Raiders fans.
Right.
Calling
Las Vegas Raiders not on that list, right. Unfortunately.
Calling Denver the Ponies.
That's right.
Those are the teams that decided they were not going to participate in.
Good
right,
for them.
Pride month. The Pride Month. Thank you, Ray. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Tim.
Thanks to Steve, Wesley, and Fred and Jay Warner Wallace and Brent Creeley, our producer. We'll see you back here tomorrow.